Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. I've been praying about it, and I'm excited this year. I am going to try to cover as much of the Bible as I can this year. And I'm going to be covering it Old Testament, go to the New Testament. I'm going to try to cover it. Not stay on just a verse or two, but try to cover more verses. Today, I'm covering the whole Bible. This morning, the Old Testament. Tonight, the New Testament. On Wednesday night, we'll start in Genesis. The reason I do that Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, because that's the only way I'm going to finish anything. I got to do it consistently, get it done, and then move on to the next thing. I'm not, as one preacher I know who preached in the book of Luke for 10 years. I can't do that. But I do this for a reason. I think the most important thing is for you to understand your Bible. Not just for knowledge, but just to understand God. Because the Word is a revelation of Him and a revelation of His ways. And so the more you understand the Bible and live by it, it's not just understanding. If you don't live by it, then it does no good. Look, if you will, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 17. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon under Christ are 14 generations. Now, I do that passage of Scripture for this reason. You will notice when he divides the genealogy of Christ, he divides it into sections. From Abraham to David, from David until the captivity, from the captivity until the time of Christ. There is a pattern to the Scripture. The Scripture is not just some haphazard book. It is written in books, and there's a pattern. And all the books connect together because the Holy Spirit is the author, even though written over 1,500 years. So I want to look at the Old Testament. Some of this we've done. We will continue to do these things, but it's good to remind you of this. There are two things that God's doing in the Old Testament. One, it's what God is doing. The Old Testament is a written record of what God is doing. It is an historical account of primarily the nation Israel, but it is a record of God working through that nation and doing something. So much of it is historical record. It encourages us because it is the same God who works in our lives in the same way. The second thing the Bible is, what God is saying. The Bible in the Old Testament is a record of historical events. God is doing something. But then there are large sections in which God is speaking. Now, God is speaking through all of it. But there are certain sections in which God speaks and reveals certain truths that he does in the Old Testament. The Old Testament can divide it into two parts. Genesis 1 through 11 is the purpose of the Bible. I hear some say that Genesis 1 through 11 is a myth. It's not real. It's not literal. Well, the problem with that is if you don't accept that, then the rest of the Bible doesn't make any sense. Because Genesis 1 through 11 sets up the reason for the rest of the Bible. Without Genesis 1 through 11, you don't know what the rest of the Bible's about. So Genesis 1 through 11 records the purpose. Genesis 12 to the end, God deals with the people Israel. He develops and brings about a people, Israel, for two reasons. One, to protect the divine revelation of Scripture. You and I would not have a Bible if it were not for the nation Israel. God brought them into being. The Scripture was recorded. The Scripture was given. And they meticulously kept the Old Testament Scriptures on parchment. The Masoretes later on particularly copied down. They didn't have a printing press. They copied down the Scriptures. It went from right to left in Hebrews, and they counted the letters. There were no vowels. They made sure it was exact so that it could be communicated. The reason God built a people is to deposit to us the Scriptures. The second reason is to prepare the way for our Savior Jesus Christ. God didn't bring Christ at the beginning. God prepared the way through the nation Israel to slowly communicate and deposit his truth. So when the time came, Christ would come and die for the sins of the world. The purpose of the Bible in Genesis 1 through 11. One, God formed the world through creation. God made you, and God made me, and God made the world we live in. And it's not old, as they say today. It's a regularly new earth. God is the creator. And the Bible says in Genesis 1, when he finished, it was very, very good. But Genesis 3 through 11 tells us the problem. Adam and Eve sinned, and the entire human race fell into sin. Romans 5:12 says, through one man, sin entered the world, and through that one man, death also entered the world. The reason we have the Bible is because we are sinners. Because we need saving. There's something wrong in the human race. Positive thinking, good feeling scriptures are wonderful for the Christian. But the Bible was written to deal with the issue of sin in the human heart. My problem is not my circumstances. My problem is sin in the human heart that affects how I may deal with my circumstance. The problem in the world is sin. And Genesis 1 through 11 tells us that the world failed and we all are sinners. God prepared a people. He did it three ways. First, he developed a nation, Israel. Secondly, he disciplined that nation. And thirdly, he delivered that nation from his discipline. The first thing was he developed a nation. This is fascinating to me. He developed a nation. The first thing, if you're going to have a nation, you've got to have people. So God began with one man, Abraham, and said, Abraham, from you I'm going to bless the entire world. Abraham had a promised son, Isaac. He had a son, Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. They formed the foundation of the nation Israel. In the book of Exodus, they were put in slavery and wrapped together. And now God has a people for himself. God today is working through the church. God wants a people for himself. Secondly, he began later on to begin to give them the land. He said, now I want you to go conquer the land. And so he sent them. The first generation failed. They failed because they're stubborn. They wouldn't do what God said. So in Joshua, God had to raise them up, and they conquered the land. Then in order to have a nation, you got to have a king. So God brought into being Saul, David, and Solomon. They became king of Israel. Israel then came at the end of 1 Kings 12, and now Israel is a nation, a people, who are in a land who God has now made them and deposited his revelation of himself. But as all people are, Israel rebelled, and so God had to discipline the nation. Beginning in 1 Kings 12, Israel split the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom. In the northern kingdom, there was nothing but bad kings. God sent prophet after prophet after prophet after prophet to warn them of coming judgment, and they would not listen. So God allowed the nation of Syria to come down and to take them into captivity and wipe them away. In the southern kingdom, you had good kings and bad kings, but God sent Isaiah and Jeremiah and the prophets. That's who the prophets are, to warn them, to warn them. Come to God, quit the idolatry. You know what happened? They wouldn't listen. So God allowed the nation Babylon to come down and take them away and take them into captivity to deal with idolatry. Today, the Jewish people may not fully accept Christ, except some do, but they are not idolatrous. God disciplined them to cut that out. You will not find them into idolatry as they were then. So God disciplined the nation. That began the times of the Gentiles, in which Israel no longer would be an independent, self-governing nation. Babylon became the first kingdom over them. Persia became the second kingdom over them. Greece became the third kingdom over them. and that the Roman Empire became the fourth kingdom from which the New Testament came into being, because the Roman Empire controlled most of the known world. That began when Israel was no longer an independent nation. In 70 AD, God scattered them. The temple was destroyed, and they were sent to all places of the globe. It wasn't until 48 that Israel came back to the land, and now they're a nation again, waiting for the end. God then brought them back. They rebuilt the temple. They rebuilt the city, and God protected them in Esther. They say, what God did in the Old Testament is God built a nation. He deposited the scripture. You and I can go to any bookstore and find any verse we want to, any Bible we want to, any translation. They didn't have that. God deposited his word so that you and I could know him and know his way. The second thing God did is in the Old Testament is what God is saying. I mean, what God is doing. He is working historically to build that nation and work through them. The second thing is God speaks in the Old Testament. God communicates his truth. Now, he does it all the way through. But there are four basic places that God communicates himself and his truth. The first one is God communicates the plan of salvation. God began with Abraham in Genesis 15 and says, Abraham believed in him and God credited it to him as righteousness. And Abraham trusted in God, and God declared him saved and accepted and righteous, not because of his works, but because he simply trusted in God. And so God said he declared him righteous. Paul picks it up in the New Testament and said, that is the plan of salvation. Paul picks it up in the New Testament and says in Genesis 12 that God planned to bless the entire world through you, meaning Christ would come. Salvation is by faith in Christ. Salvation is not by works. Salvation is not by denomination. Salvation is not being good. Salvation is bowing the knee and realizing I'm a sinner and trusting in Christ and his finished work on the cross, and God communicated, that is the way I will save mankind. In Exodus, he built the tabernacle and expanded that thought. And the tabernacle, he had himself in the tabernacle, and they only could come through blood. They could only come through the sacrifices. Only the high priest could go into the presence of God, because God was to teach his people, I am holy, and no one comes unto me except by the finished work of Christ. God does not accept people because they're good, because they're rich, because they're nice looking, because they're well influenced in the world. God only accepts those who come through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The high priest could only go in once a year, and he had to have bells on his robe because they were afraid when he went in there that God would strike him down. When Jesus Christ died, the temple veil was rent from top to bottom. So God says now all can come into my presence through what Jesus Christ has done. God communicated the plan. Now Israel messed it up and thought it was good works and good deeds. Paul says they thought it was their way and their good deeds. But that's not God's plan. God's plan is salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. I'll tell you how salvation is. When you approach God, he's not just some fellow up heaven. He's not just somebody go, hey, God, how you doing? He's a holy, almighty God. And you either come in your arrogance and your pride thinking, hey, God, how you doing? You going to bless me? Why are you doing this in my life? God's not interested in that. God is holy. And he expects you to come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ and him alone. God communicated the way of salvation. Secondly, God communicated the plan to show that we are sinners. In the book of Exodus, he gave the law. We call them the Ten Commandments. Israel thought, oh, well, the Ten Commandments, if we do these things, we'll be good people. We'll go to heaven. That's not why God gave the law. The Bible says in Romans that God gave the law to show people that they fall short of God's standard and need a Savior. God never said that if you will do the Ten Commandments and follow them and obey them, that when life ends, He'll let you into heaven. The Ten Commandments were given as a guideline, but given also to show that we are sinners. I fall short, Lord. I don't make you number one in my life. I don't love as I ought to. I don't do the things that I should. To convict us of our sin so that we would come to Christ. That's why God gave the law. That's why God gave His standard. So that people would realize they needed Christ. Thirdly, God knows that we need personal ministry and care and compassion. So He spoke and He communicated the wisdom literature. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. Why did God include these? For a simple reason. Because God cares with where you are. God cares with where your life really is. Job is the book of suffering. Job is the book of suffering. Anybody suffered lately? Well, Job is the book that tells you of human suffering. And it's not just because of a person's sin. It's part of life. Psalms. Why do we love the Psalms? Psalms 23. Because David expresses much of his time, his love for God. And God, help me. You are a shield to me. You've enlarged me. You've protected me. I've had enemies. I've had troubles. And David pours out his heart in the Psalms. And Asaph pours out his heart in the Psalms. And we love them because God is speaking to us where we live. Proverbs tells us the day-to-day living. If there's a lot coming out of your mouth, the Bible says in Proverbs, you're probably going to sin somewhere along the way. Proverbs is down-to-earth living. Down-to-earth where we live. Ecclesiastes tells us, what's the point of it all? Solomon goes, I had it all. I had money. I had fame. I had wisdom. And when I come to the end of all of it, there's no point to it all. And Ecclesiastes deals with the meaning of life. And Solomon began to conclude that even in the midst of all this, there's meaning because I know God, and God has given me good. And Song of Solomon gives us love with marriage. You see, God not only communicated His plan of salvation, but God communicated truth to minister to us personally, to encourage us, to take us where we live. God not only saves us, but God gives us truth to comfort us where we live. How many of you have all been comforted by Psalms 23? That is one of the most encouraging psalms in all the world. Psalm 73, where Asaph said, I looked at the rich, I looked at the wicked, and they were prosperous and they were blessed. And I almost lost my way and said, I give up on God. But he said, then I went into the temple and realized that their way is a way of death. God communicates where we live. And lastly, he gave the prophetic revelation in Isaiah through Malachi. He gave the person of Christ and his work. Isaiah 53 tells us that he will come and die for our sins. He gave the prophecy of the end of time and what's going to happen. You know, I know what's going to happen in the end. Why do I know? Because of the prophets. Because of what they spoke. They always spoke to the end of time, what's going to happen. And then he dealt with the present circumstances of Israel and God's dealing with them. God has spoken in the Old Testament and communicated himself by showing us what he's doing and what he's saying. God has deposited His Word. I'm going to give it a shot this year. If you're bored, well, we'll see. This is a shot this year to encourage you in what the Scriptures teach you. Let's pray. Father, we love You today. We thank You. You are good to us. And Lord, I thank You for Your precious and wonderful Word. If we are not reading it, we are sinning. We are not following Your way. You want to communicate to us Yourself and Your way and Your truth. And we thank You for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.